Father, we bless you tonight. We honor you and reverence you, singing hallelujah, our God reigns. And Father, not only do you reign, you've made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ. So you've made us to reign in Christ. You've made us to rule, to reign in this life, at this time, over these situations. You've made us to rule and reign. In fact, Father, you've made us conquerors, more than conquerors. You said, if God be for you, then who can be against you? Though a host encamp against me, and this I will not fear. Hallelujah! Our God reigns. You're an awesome God, and we bless you tonight in the house of God. We worship you, reverence you, extolling you, magnifying you, speaking of your goodness, bragging on you, telling of all of your love. You're a mighty good God. You're mighty to save, mighty to heal, mighty to deliver. Hallelujah! You're mighty to forgive. You're mighty to restore. You're mighty to rebuild. Oh, hallelujah, our God, you reign tonight. So thank you for unction, for utterance tonight. Oh, by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the privilege, the high call and privilege of ministering your holy written word. Thank you for the privilege, for the opportunity. Father God, thank you. And thank you for the great helper, the Holy Ghost. Thank you that we have a helper, a standby, an advocate, a comforter, a counselor. Hallelujah. We thank you for the great Holy Ghost. We thank you for the mighty, mighty written word of God, filled with, dripping with power, dripping with anointing on tonight. Your mighty word is alive, quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. Your word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. One day heaven and earth will all pass away, but not your word, Father. Your word shall endure forever. And your word never fails to accomplish that mission for which you send it. And tonight you're sending your word on a holy mission tonight in the hearts and the lives of your people here in this service, those listening, some other venue, some other way, watching live stream, however they're listening to this message. You're sending your word on a mission, and it shall accomplish that which you intend. So we just give you the glory, yield ourselves over to you, ask you to be glorified with every aspect of this service, and then we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And again, thank you for the unction. Thank you for the utterance. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, glory be to God. Let us thank Dan and all of our worshipers and band for leading us into the presence of Almighty God. You just can't take that for granted. Let them hear it again. Don't you appreciate them? They're just anointed. Anointed folk. That's what they are. Anointed folk. Well, you can have your seat. Glory to God. If you have your Bible tonight, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. The title of our message tonight is this: Don't Do That. Wait on the Lord. Look at somebody. Look at somebody and tell them, don't do that. Wait on the Lord. Look at one other person. Tell them, don't do that. Wait on the Lord. You'll be blessed if you'll wait. Learn to wait on the Lord. And 1 Samuel chapter 13 is where you're going. 1 Samuel 13. I remember years ago while you're turning to 1 Samuel 13, at Christmas time, and Black Friday. It was Thanksgiving time, right? And well, we were going Christmas shopping the day after is what we were doing. And I never forget, because we're supposed to get up early and go shopping. And we all agree as a family. Now we got to be up, Black Friday, you get up early, you're up like 4 or 5 a.m. and you're going to get the deals. And that's what the family, we're supposed to be up 4 or 5. We're going to get the deal. And, so my family, we always gave, of course, everybody got individual gifts and all that. And then we bought always one big family gift too. But for the big family gift, we all voted on that. And I never forget that Christmas, John Paul, he met me at the door, Thanksgiving, and he said, Dad, we already decided what the family gift is. And I said, well, we didn't vote. He said, I already got the votes. He said, I got the votes on it. He said, you're already outvoted. It don't matter what your vote is. I said, well, what's the gift? He said, it's a treadmill. The big gift for the family this year is a treadmill. I said, oh, no, I don't want no treadmill. Oh, no treadmill. Down with the treadmill. Not trying to think about a treadmill. And so John Paul, he said, he's just a little boy there. He said, no, Dad, I've got the votes and you're outvoted. And so sure enough, when we met We tried to tally the votes. I tried to sway the votes, but he had them all. He had all the votes in his corner. They all wanted the treadmill. I was the only dissenting vote. And so I found a treadmill, $1,000, you know, but I had on Black Friday, they had a special sale. So for like $499, something like that. It was $499. But you had to be there early, you know, Black Friday, you know. And so we're going to get up and go and get the family gift then on Black Friday. And they got the votes. I still didn't want it, but okay, they outvoted me. And so on that Black Friday, we overslept. We all just slept right through. And we didn't get up. I say we got up around 7 o'clock, 7:30. We got up real late. And you know, if you're trying to go shopping on Black Friday, you get up at 7:30, 8 o'clock, you late. You might as well go on back to bed. And so we got up and everybody was, oh, we overslept. Oh, get up, carry up, just hurry up, just brush your teeth. We're just gonna go there. We'll come back and clean up after we get take showers when we get back. Just everybody get ready. And they all got ready and rushed downstairs. They're ready to go to the car. And so, but in my heart, I felt like, hey, you know, we ought to spend some time. We normally have our prayer time in the morning. And so I said to the family, look, we need to pray. Oh, man, if eyes could be daggers. My family boy, they shot me down. They said, no, dad, we're already late. We could pray later. Let us pray later. We already missed everything. And I said, well, it is what it is now. Whatever it is, it is. But I feel like we should stay and pray. We need to take the time to pray. And oh man, they dissented. Oh, every one of them. But I overruled them all and said, we're gonna pray. This is the truth. And so we pray. And so we started singing, you know, we started first part of quiet time, we started singing to the Lord. That was the worst singing we ever did as a family. They was looking at me, praise the Lord, what you doing, Dad? Praise God, you know we missing sales. Praise the Lord. Dad, you know you messing up now. It was them kind of songs, you know. I closed my eyes, kept right on singing to the Lord. We got out there. We went to Academy Sports. That's where we're going to get the treadmill, you know. And so we walked in there. They're all dejected. The whole family's dejected, you know. I said, well, look, I'm just going to pay the higher price. I'll just pay the $1,000 for the treadmill. We're still getting the gift. So I'll just pay, we're not losing that, so I'll just pay the $1,000. And so, you know, after prayer, we went on in there, and now we're doubly late because I made us stay and pray. And so then we got in there, and so, you know, I saw one of the guys who worked in there by the treadmills, and I said, you know, I had the advertisement, I said, you know, this treadmill was, do you have any more of these treadmills? He said, oh, sir. He said, you would have had to be here at 5 a.m., and we were out of them by 5:15. He said, we don't have a thing. Don't have a thing. He said, we got plenty over there at regular prices. I said, okay, no problem. And they were all looking at me like, see, we told you. I said, oh, that's okay. We just get that one. So we went over and we're trying to pick out one, you know, okay, which one do we want now? You know, you got several of them at $1,000. So we're looking at them, you know. And so then after a few minutes, that same guy, he comes barreling around the corner. And he said, sir, do you still want that treadmill? I said, you mean the one for $499? He said, yeah. He said, we accidentally knocked one over. We were rushing this morning, trying to get them all out before the crowd, and we knocked one over and forgot about it. And he said, this treadmill's still back there, $499 if you want it. I said, I want it, go get it. And I figured he wheeled it out there. Some other lady was looking for it too, you know. And when he wheeled it out there on the dolly, he said, here it is. Just wheel this right up there to the register. Then she said, where did you get that? That's what I want. He said, there's no more. That's it. And I looked at my family. I said, it paid to wait on the Lord. I was walking like George Jefferson then. Y'all didn't want to sing. Y'all didn't want to pray. But the Lord helped me that time. Don't do that. Wait on the Lord. Let's go to 1 Samuel 13. 1 Samuel 13 at verse 5. Now the Philistines assembled to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen. And people like the sand which is on the seashore in abundance. And they came up and camped in Michmash, east of Beth-Aven. And when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were hard-pressed, Then the people hid themselves in caves and thickets and cliffs and cellars and in pits. And also some of the Hebrews crossed the Jordan into the land of Gad and Gilead. But as for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. Now he waited 7 days. Everybody say he waited 7 days. Let me keep reading. Now he waited 7 days according to the appointed time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. And so Saul said, "Bring to me the burnt offering and the peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. And as soon as he finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and to greet him. But Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the appointed days, and that the Philistines were assembling at Mishmash. And therefore I said, now the Philistines will come against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked for the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "You have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." It's a sad story for the first king of Israel. And Saul started out so well as king. And yet we didn't read the first four verses. He had a pride problem, and that got him in trouble. But he also had a patience problem. And here his patience problem got him in trouble and got the kingdom ripped from his hand, something God intended for him to have, a blessing God intended for him to have through enduring generations. He disqualified himself because he was impatient. And sometimes, my brother and sister, impatience gets us in trouble. Impatience sometimes causes us to say things we never should have said. I said, I wish I had one amen. Amen. Sometimes impatience can get you to purchase something you never should have purchased, or you shouldn't have purchased it at those terms. I wish I had one amen in here. Sometimes impatience, being impatient, can get you hooked up with the wrong person. Impatience can cause you to make some of the most wrong decisions. And see, Saul, we read it there, he was under such pressure. The enemy had him outmanned, outgunned. They were severely outmanned. And you see, that pressure got on him. And he let that affect his decision making. And Saul had already told him, you know, because Israel didn't fight a battle unless, you know, here the prophet had to come and make sure God was giving the blessing, that everything was right with Israel, and that God was leading the battle, and that God was essentially fighting the battle on behalf of Israel. Then it didn't matter who they fought, because nobody can beat God. But the prophet had left instructions, and in the instructions he said, "You're to wait 7 days, wait for me to come and offer the sacrifices, wait for me to come and give the okay, wait for me to come and give the blessing before you march out. If you want God's blessing, wait on the Lord." He said, "Don't do that, wait on the Lord." And the Bible said right there that Saul waited 7 days, but the enemy was quickly closing in. And not only that, Israel was full of fear, and he was losing the support of his troops, and he was losing, you know, the commitment of his forces. They were hiding and running and hiding in you know, in thickets and pits and caves, and they were running from him. His own men were, and then the enemy was closing in on top of that, and he let that pressure get to him, and instead of waiting patiently on the Lord, he acted foolishly. And the moment he did it, Samuel showed up. The second he got done doing that, Samuel showed up and said, "What have you done? Don't do that. Wait on the Lord." Go with me to the book of Psalms now. The book of Psalms. Go with me to Psalm 25. Don't do that. Wait on the Lord. No doubt in your own life, you can account of things that you've done, and probably we can all do that, that you know you shouldn't have done it. Looking back, hindsight's 20/20, but looking back, you say, man, I got too impatient. Man, I shouldn't have done that at that time or whatever. And you allowed something to pressure or whatever, sometimes the pressure of a salesperson, whatever, to push you into making a decision that's too quick. And you may, and perhaps it was the right thing to do, but the wrong terms. I bought a car one time. I paid more for the car than I should have paid. You know why? I was impatient. But then I learned how to wait. I learned how to wait on the Lord and watch the Lord bless me. I said, amen. I said, I learned from my mistake. I bought a car, I paid $1,000 above what I was supposed to pay for the car. But I was impatient. But I learned from that. And through the years, I've paid thousands less than I would have paid waiting on the Lord. Where'd I tell you to go? Psalm 25. I just wanted to see if you're with me. Okay. Three places in Psalm 25, it says, wait on the Lord. In verse 3, in verse 5, and there in verse 21. In verse 3, it says, indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. I like that. If you wait on the Lord, you'll never have to be ashamed. You won't have to be ashamed of the decision you make. You won't have to be ashamed of what you do. You won't have to be ashamed. If you'll wait on the Lord, I said, wait on the Lord. He'll make it all right. Verse 5, for you, I wait all the day. Let's start at verse 4 there. He says, make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. Teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you, I wait all day. If you want the Lord to teach you something, sometimes you have to wait on him. He'll teach you all right, but you're going to have to learn how to wait. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord in his presence. Wait on the Lord. And then down there at verse 21 of Psalm 25, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Oh, yeah. And I tell you what, your part, our part is to keep our integrity. Amen. But if we'll keep our integrity and wait on the Lord, I tell you, he'll bring us on through. There's a part only we can play. That's that integrity side. There's a part only he can play. He'll give us wisdom. He'll give us favor. He will help us. He will deliver us. He will show us the way. So he said, indeed, verse 3, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. He said, verse 5, for I wait all the day. For you, I wait all the day. 21, for I wait for you. In fact, look over there at Psalm 27, verse 14. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. There is this admonition throughout, all over the pages of Scripture, to not get ahead of God. And sometimes in our following the Lord, there are times when the Lord, I'm convinced, there are times when the Lord doesn't, let me say it this way. There's times I'm convinced the Lord doesn't show me things because he knows I'll mess it up. Can I say it that way? But it's true about you too. We have to walk by faith, not by sight. But so often we want to see so much, we want to see it all, but I'm convinced we'd mess it up. I know I would. Sometimes I just mess it up. And so that's why we walk by faith, not by sight, you know. But he said right there, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. You know, over in Psalm 46, verse 10, it says this, be still and know that I am God. And there's a time in his presence to just be still. There's a time in his presence to just be quiet. There's a time in his presence to just be yielded. There's a time in his presence to be spiritually sensitive to the Lord. I wish I had the amen in here. There's a time to sing. We're going to talk about that. There's a time to shout. There's a time to run and dance. There's a time. Oh, yeah, there's a time. But there is a time to be still before the Lord. Hear from God in your spirit. Know what direction to go in. Wait on the Lord. He said, wait on the Lord. So I want to talk to you about three areas, waiting on the Lord. You know my title. What's my title again? You tell me. Don't do that. Wait on the Lord. Yeah. All right. And so we're going to talk about then three areas real quick here. Three benefits really to waiting on the Lord. The first benefit is if you wait on the Lord, he'll give you a new strength. Go with me to Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Oh, there's a benefit to waiting on the Lord. It's hard to do sometimes. I mean, because sometimes you feel the pressure like Saul. He felt the pressure. He could see the enemy quickly closing in. He could see his men quickly withdrawing from him. And he let the pressure get to him. But you know, if you're under pressure tonight, let the pressure push you toward God, not away from God. I'm going to say that again. I did a better job saying that than y'all said amen. I said, if you're under pressure, let the pressure push you toward God, not away from God. Amen. Amen. And so over in Isaiah 40, and then we're going down to from 30 to 31, but let me start at 28 because I just love reading that. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. And though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. That means soar. That means when it said mount up, they will soar with wings like eagles. And they will run and not get tired. And they will walk and not become weary. If you're weary tonight, physically or spiritually, your answer is right here in this book. I said, if you need strength tonight, if you say, man, I just need the strength to carry on. I know what to do. If you say, Brother Bill, I know what to do. I don't know that I have the strength to do it. This is your scripture right here. And I'll tell you, during one of the most, the most trying time of my life, during the most trying time of my life, I was reading this scripture. And Isaiah 40. You know, I had read this scripture. I had read this scripture about, I'd read this scripture four or five times. I'd been reading from 27 on down through 31. And I was telling the Lord, walking the floor of my house, and I said, God, I need your strength. And I said, I know you said right here you would strengthen me. And I kept quoting to him. I said, Lord, you know, you said those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They'll mount up with wings like an eagle. They'll run and not get tired. They'll walk and not get weary. And I said, but I have to confess to you, Father, I don't feel that. I need your strength. I feel weak. I need your help. I read it again. I told the Lord, I said, I don't feel your strength. I need your help. I read it again. I told the Lord the same thing. I bet you I read it 10 times. And on the 10th time, the Lord spoke something to my spirit that I was never the same afterwards. After I read it about 10 times, and I was reading, just quoting, you know, though youths grow weary and tired, vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. And they'll mount up with wings like an eagle, and they'll run along. And the version I was reading, it says that they will renew their strength. The version that I was reading it in that night said they will renew their strength. You know the same thing, gain new strength, renew your strength. And after I read that 10 times, the Lord spoke something to me. And I'm telling you, it was the biggest crisis I have ever faced in my life. And I'm just being real with God. And he told me this. He said, Bill, if you will continue to renew your mind. I will renew your strength. You see, my brother and sister, I was asking the Lord for renewed strength without having a renewed mind. Oh, no, you have to renew your strength. You have to renew your mind. You have to renew your mind for the Lord to renew your strength. And I mean, I got busy. I knew exactly what the Lord was saying. I got busy right then, renewing my mind, getting my mind in the right place, getting scriptures that dealt with what I was going through, and getting scriptures and meditating those scriptures. I woke up the next morning. I crawled out of our bed onto my knees, lifted my hands, and said, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. I feel a mantle of your strength on me. I can make it now, Lord. I feel your strength on me. Oh, yeah. And so over in, you know, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by what? Oh, yeah. By the renewing of your mind. And it's impossible for God to renew your strength if you won't sit yourself down and renew your mind. But I'll guarantee you one thing. You can take it to the bank. Money, you can take it right to the bank. If you will renew your mind with this anointed word, hey, God will renew your strength. He will strengthen you. He will give you the ability to do what you thought you could not do. He will carry you. He will hold you up. He will lift you up. He will prop you up. He will help you up. Hey, God will strengthen you. He'll strengthen you and give you the power to make it. Oh, yes, he will. I said, I'm a witness. He will strengthen you. You better get busy renewing your mind so that he can renew your strength. And so the first benefit of waiting on the Lord is a renewed strength. A renewed strength. But secondly, man, where did our time go? Oh man. Goodness gracious. Okay, come on. Come on, we're gonna run fast. Put your running shoes on. Oh my goodness. You know what? I feel like I've been up here 5 minutes. Go back to the book of Psalms. Oh, my goodness. The first benefit, he will renew your strength. A new strength is my point. A new strength. Secondly, a new song. Everybody say a new song. God, he will give you a new song. Turn with me, Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Man. Okay, verse 7. David said, you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Can you see that? He said, you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with what? Songs of deliverance. Look over at Psalm 33. Verse 1 says, sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Verse 3 says, sing to him a new song. Do you see that? It says, sing to the Lord a new song. Over and over again, we are admonished to sing a new song to the Lord. Look real quick. You're running now. You're running with me in scripture. Go to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. The first benefit, the first benefit of waiting on the Lord is a new strength. But let me tell you, the second benefit is a new song. A new song. Where did I tell you to go? Psalm 96? Verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. A new song. Isn't that something? Go with me real quick to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Talking about a new song, a new song, a new song. Look at verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. One more. Colossians, go to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. And then look down at verse
16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. There's a song of the Lord. And let me tell you this about a song of the Lord. A song of the Lord, let me give you my definition. It's a prophetic prediction about the outcome of your current situation and the awesomeness of God. A song of the Lord. It's a prophetic prediction about the outcome of your current situation and or the awesomeness of God. You get a song. You need a song of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, when you wait on the Lord, wait over in his presence. Sometimes it's when you worship him, waiting on him, he'll give you a new song. And I tell you, sometimes people have trouble sleeping at night, but Psalm 4 said, I will both lay me down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. And sometimes people can't sleep right. Listen, you need to get the right music. If you can't sleep, look, get some good worship music, some worship music that will minister to your spirit. And get that playing throughout the night. Because that'll minister to you consciously and subconsciously. You need a new song. So listen, when you wait on the Lord, he'll give you a new strength. When you wait on the Lord, he'll give you a new song. Finally, when you wait on the Lord, he'll give you a new strategy. Go real quick. We're running now. Luke chapter 5. He'll give you a new strategy. Luke chapter 5. You wait on the Lord, he'll give you a new strength. But if you wait over on him, he'll give you a new song. It'll be a song of victory. And if you wait on him, he'll give you a new strategy. And Luke chapter 5, verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water, let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night, caught nothing, but we will do as you say and let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed such a great quantity of fish, their nets began to break. They had fished all night, didn't catch anything, but Jesus told them, drop the nets this time. And guess what? He knew exactly where the blessing was. What do you need from God? He knows exactly where it is. He knows exactly how to get it to you. If you'll wait on him, he'll give you a strategy to get it. Wait on him till he gives you, he'll give you a new strength. He'll give you a new song. He'll give you a new strategy. Go back to Psalm 32 real quick. Verse 8, Psalm 32, verse 8. God said this, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye on you. You know what that is? That's a new strategy. That's a new strategy. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. God's got a strategy for you. What is it you need from God? You need a job. You're looking for a position. You're looking for a promotion. God's got a strategy for you. And you see, if you follow that strategy, he'll bless you. He'll bless your socks off. I said, he's got a new strength for you. He's got a new song for you. He's got a new strategy for you. And if you'll trust him, he'll lead you right to your blessing. Over in Matthew 17, let me close with this. In Matthew 17, you know, we find Jesus, the tax guy came to Jesus, to Peter, and said, don't you pay the temple tax? And Peter said, yeah, come on in the house. They didn't have any money. Jesus told him, go out there, drop a hook in the water, take the first fish that you catch. Looked at Matthew 17, the end of the chapter. Take the first fish you catch, pull it up from the water, take the stater out of its mouth, pay your taxes and mine. Jesus knew exactly where that fish was. He knows exactly where your house is. He knows exactly where your job is. He knows that car you want and you're believing for, he knows exactly where it's at. The finances you need, he knows exactly where it is. And he knows how to get it to you. He will give you a new strength. He will give you a new song. He will give you a new strategy. Don't do that. Wait on the Lord. Father, we've endeavored in this time that we have to share with your people and deliver that which we feel you delivered unto us. And so, thank you for helping your people tonight. And so many are going through different situations. We know over in Psalm 40, David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he heard my cry, and he lifted my feet out of the miry clay. And Father, someone here tonight may feel like they're in the miry clay, the swampy, muddy, sticky clay. Oh, but you're a deliverer tonight. And we know that if they'll reach out to you, if they'll humble themselves and reach out and obey you, then oh, you'll deliver them out of the miry clay. Someone here is in a situation they don't know how to get through. Someone's here in a circumstance they don't know what to do. Oh, but if they'll obey you tonight, you're a deliverer. David said, you set my feet upon a rock. You took my feet out of the miry clay and set it upon a rock. And I know you want to do that for someone in here tonight. And so someone's been sinking in the muck, in the mire. maybe of circumstances, maybe of disobedient behavior or lifestyle. Oh, but you can lift him up to the rock tonight through the mighty name of Jesus. And thank you that that name is a rock. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here tonight, you say, Brother Bill, I'm sinking. I'm in that miry clay. And maybe it's your lifestyle. Maybe you, the way you're living your life. Maybe you're not living for Christ. Maybe you lived for him at one time and you're not now and you've turned around. Whatever it is, if you'll be honest with God and if you'll obey God, he'll deliver you. He'll pull you right out of that miry clay, that circumstance you thought you couldn't get through. Let me see your hand tonight. Pray for me. I need help. If you, especially first you say, I know I'm not living right. I'm not living right. Thank you. Thank you. You say, I'm not living right. I just go ahead and fess up. I'll just admit it to the Lord. I'm not living right. I need God's help. I want to know if you'll pray for me. My feet are in the clay. My feet are in the miry clay. Thank you. I need help. God, I want you to help me. I want you to turn this around. Well, you know, the Lord, for him to turn it around for you, you're going to have to obey him. You're going to have to set aside fear. You're going to have to set aside pride. You're going to have to obey him. Hey, is the Holy Spirit dealing with your heart? Is he touching you right now? Is he touching your heart? Don't shrug that off. That's your help. That's your help. Let him help you tonight. Listen, if you lifted your hand, you want prayer. You know you're not living right. You're not living for Christ. Or maybe you've never accepted Christ into your life. Maybe you've never received the Lord. I want you to do something bold. Oh, but it's going to turn into deliverance. If you do what we're telling you, it's going to turn out for your deliverance. You're going to walk in victory like you never had before. God's going to meet you in an awesome way. Listen, I just want you to stand up on your feet. I'm just going to count to three real simple. I want you to stand up on your feet. You say, I need help tonight. I need help. I want God to help me. I want God to help me. You've been asking God. You've been asking him. You've been asking him. Now he's asking you. One, I want you just to forget about people. Forget about the person next to you. Forget about who you came with. Two, I want you to forget about this crowd, these people. We all love you. Three, I want you just to stand up on your feet. Just stand right up on your feet. Just boldly stand up on your feet. That's right. Just stand up on your feet. That's right. Just stand up on your feet. And I want you to do this now. I want you to just get up. And I want you just to come down, just to step out in the aisle. Come down here and let me pray for you. You want God to help you. Step out in the aisle now. I know it may seem, you may see, well, man, that's a lot of people. God's trying to help you. He's trying to get something to you. Step out in the aisle. Come down here and let me pray for you. God's dealing with you. God's touching you. God's speaking to you. Oh, but if you'd let him help you. Now, you can have it your way. You can go back and just struggle and your feet can stay in that miry clay. And you can go back, but listen, the Lord's saying he's here to deliver you. He wants to set you on a rock. He wants you to come down tonight, be set free. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, for your grace, for your power. Thank you, Father, for your amazing love. Thank you, you are a God of mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right now, my brother, my sister, this last call. It's your chance, your opportunity. So often people run, they want to catch you at the car, they want to catch you on your way out the door. God's moving for you right now. If you'll come on, he'll help you. If you sit there, you're going to keep your feet in the miry clay. I don't know why somebody would want to do that. I don't know why somebody would want to do that when God's trying to help you. He's trying to deliver you. That's right. Come on, brother. Come on over here. Come on. God's going to help you, man. God's going to help you. I know that's a bold step. God's going to help you, man. Stay right here. God's going to help you. Anybody else want to come? This brother took a bold step tonight, and God's going to help him. Why would you sit there? Why would you turn around and go out bound, go out with your feet in the miry clay when you can come down here and you can be set free? Come on now. Let the Lord help you and set you free. Oh, you know that's the Lord. You know the Lord is ministering to you. He's trying to touch you. That's right. That's right. Come on. That's right. God's going to help you. Here, turn right here and face me, bro. Right there. There you go. Good. Come on. That's all right. Come on. That's right. That's right. Come on, dear. You're fine. Take your time. Take your time. Come on, let's encourage him. You're going to clap? Let's clap for him. Praise God. It's all right. Come on. He's your helper. 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 Somebody else in here tonight, you know God is dealing with you. You know that there's something dealing with your heart, and it's the Lord trying to get you delivered, trying to get your feet out of that miry clay. You've been talking to God. You've been frustrated. You've been complaining. You've been asking God, and now the ball's in your court. And if you'll listen to him, he'll set you free. He'll take your feet out of that miry clay. He will set your feet on a rock, but you have to obey him. If you say, I'm not going to obey him, you'll be stuck in that miry clay. But if you'll listen to him, that's right, come on. If you'll listen to him, he'll help you. Yes, he will. He'll help you. He will deliver you. He will touch you. God's going to help you. Praise God. He's going to help you. He's going to touch you. Come on, God's speaking to your heart. Come on. Come on, just obey the Lord. Just obey God. Just obey God. He's going to help you. He's a prayer answering God. David said, I prayed to the Lord and he inclined his ear to me. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, down here, I'm just a man. But God has everything you need. And if you can, lift one hand to him. It's a way of saying, I'm coming to you for my help tonight. And we're going to all pray a prayer out loud. And congregation, stand up on your feet and lift your hands to these brothers and sisters. And we're going to all pray this out loud. Father, I come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you all of who I am. I ask you to forgive me, to wash it all away, to cleanse me, to help me, to deliver me. Father, restore me and restore the joy of my salvation. Oh, thank you for it, Father. You said if we would ask you, if we would repent, that you would do it. We take you at your word now. We thank you for touching each person here in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for touching each person in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, may your power rest and reside upon them in Jesus' name. May they never be the same. May old habits be broken in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for the power in that name. Thank you that every influence of the enemy that has affected them, mind, body, and spirit, is broken off of them. Broken off of them through the mighty name of Jesus. That influence of the enemy is broken in Jesus' name. And we thank you for deliverance in the name. Thank you for setting them free in the name. Thank you for setting their feet on a rock in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's the power of God touching you. Listen to me. This is Brother Paul. Reverend Paul, he's our prayer warrior tonight, prayer team leader. And he's got a group of people going to give you some free information and material. And we want you to go with Brother Paul to that place of prayer. And they're going to answer any question you have. And they're going to give you some free material. And they're going to pray with you one-on-one as well. He's already touched you all. He's not done touching you. You feel the Spirit of God all over you, don't you? The Spirit of God's all over you too, isn't he? Yeah. And the Spirit of God is upon you. Yes, he is. And the Spirit of God is on you, man. So turn and go with Brother Paul right now. And we're going to give you those additional materials. And we're going to answer any question that you have. Do you have something down here you need to get first? Your coat. Did you come with somebody or you came by yourself? Okay. Where are you sitting? Can someone bring her coat? Who was sitting next to her? Down this aisle. Does anybody know where our sister is sitting, her coat? Okay, bring it down here, brother. Bring it down. Stay right here, darling. Stay right here. He's got it. Okay. Is that all you had back there? Is that all you had back there? Okay. All right. You okay? Okay. All right. This usher's going to escort you personally, okay? All right. God bless you, dear. Come on, let's give them all a big hand. Hallelujah. Come on, we can do better than that. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? God's touching lives. God's touching, saving, healing, restoring, forgiving, rebuilding. that which the cankerworm has stolen. God's rebuilding tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Bible says there's joy all over heaven. When one person repents, when one person turns around to God, let me tell you, you can't get that kind of joy riding in a BMW or a Cadillac. You can only get that joy through Christ, through the experience of relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's a mighty good God. He's a prayer answering God. He's a saving God. He's a delivering God. He's a helper in the midnight hour. Oh, yes, he is. Father, thank you tonight. We honor and bless you. Give you all the glory for those who've gone to the prayer room. And thank you. May they never, ever be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you came in here tonight and it's your first time, we want to thank you for coming. We sure thank you for coming. If you would go with our connection team members, we're going to do just what we said. Pastor Marvin was saying at the beginning of the service, we got a great gift for you on behalf of our senior pastors. And so we want you to go with them right now. With the connection team people, they're not going to keep you long. They're just long enough to thank you for coming and give you the great gift that we have for you. You made an effort to come out. We just applaud you. Give all these people a big hand. So many have tuned in online, and we applaud you too. Give all the people watching online a big hand. We appreciate you tuning in tonight. Praise God. And so if all hearts and minds are clear, then We thank you for being here, and you are dismissed until we see your bright, smiling face Wednesday night, Hour of Power. God bless you.